Today on VFN TV, we're going to hear the continued interviews with John Newland, these amazing stories. I'm telling you, ups and downs, they're so encouraging. They're challenging, but they're amazing. He says ordinary, I don't know. Just check it out.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You also talked about, you know, speaking about fear. You know, I've worked with two guys, one guy named Hannah in the military, and he was a chief, and I had to work in the engine room with grease. I'm not a grease type person myself, but I had to because I was striking for a job and had to wait for my school to open up. And so they put me in the engine room, and this which an engine room on a ship is on the bottom of the boat.
Right.
And then there's something underneath that called the bilge.
Right.
And he told me, he says, listen, you're gonna need to go down in the bilge and weave your body between the pipes and clean the bilge out. So I was sitting on the deck plate, and I'm young, I'm 17 when I joined the military. And I looked up at him, and I looked down that dark hole. I felt claustrophobic anyway. I looked at him, looked down, I'm like, I'm not gonna do it, Hannah. I'm just not gonna do it, you know, whatever the consequences are, because it was just worst case scenario for me being claustrophobic, dark, and bilge and that type of thing. But I also worked for somebody in the construction business that my father, we're in business together, and he said he put me under this particular man, and that makes me think about Cassidy, you know, and he was tough. I mean, with the person I was working for, he's like, nobody liked him, you know, he was not good at talking with people. But yet, my father put me right up under him, and I learned a lot. And long story short, because when I hear your story about Cassidy, is as I was working with him, that's when I got saved. When I got saved, not then. First thing I thought about was him, and I sent him a card, tell him I loved him, and that type of thing. And then he gets saved later on, and then his wife contacts me and says, "I want you to do my funeral." But it didn't look that way. So tell us your story about Cassidy, because it's about overcoming fear. And I was with you in that story. I mean, I can't tell. You tell us the details about what took place there.
Well, this one's called My First Job.
Yeah.
And my dad had a rock quarry and had about six big drag lines. A drag line is a machine that actually moves dirt, or in this case, it was dynamited rock. Mm-hmm. And has a big house on it that is maybe 30 by 40 mm-hmm. or bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And has many, many gears going around. Well, my dad decided that he was going to put me working in the back of that drag line, oiling for a gentleman named Cassidy, who is a really good operator. My dad respected him for being a good operator, but he kept running off these oilers.
Right.
And so he'd just run off two oilers, and so my dad thought he'd fix me and Cassidy.
What's
so
an oiler?
An oiler is a guy that keeps everything greased up and clean.
Okay.
On a drag line, there's a lot of things got to be greased all the time.
Okay.
And this particular job was 7 days a week, started at 6 in the morning, I got off at 6, so that was 12 hours a day.
Wow.
So it was 40 hours regular time, 40 hours overtime.
Wow.
It was only $2.50 an hour.
Oh, okay.
But he put me in the back of that drag line, uh-huh. and Cassidy tried to be mean to me, to be rough.
Right.
But I learned a lesson. I said, yes, sir, no, sir. I ran to everything I did. I cleaned everything the best I could.
Right.
He wanted me to carry two 35-pound kegs of grease back from the shop a quarter mile away, and he had an old truck. That's why the other guys quit him.
Right.
But I did it double time. And I worked
hard. You carried it.
I carried it, you know.
Wow.
Which was all I could do.
Right.
But I say in the book, mm-hmm. to my legacy, that'd be the ones that follow me.
Right.
When you get in a job, mm-hmm. do it as hard as you can, the very best you can, and you'll rise up a ladder. Every place I've worked, if I do that, so now I've learned and became a Christian, mm-hmm. if you'll do it to the Lord, there's a scripture that says, whatever you do, do it like you're doing it for the Lord.
Right.
And then it makes an ease to it.
Right.
You know, it's beyond Cassidy being mean.
Right.
But it's just a work ethic. And
Hard work is a rare thing today, that people just think things just come to you. And it's like, there's people, I actually write about it in my book, but they're talking about, you know, millennials, where They know where they are, and they know where they want to be, but they don't understand that journey in between those places. What you're talking about, that journey, is that it's going to require diligence, hard work, learning lessons that you have to learn to get there, and being respectful, you know, and that's powerful. You know, saying yes, sir, and no, sir is a very rare thing nowadays, you know. You're seeing disrespect for the president, disrespect for law enforcement, where people are walking up and pouring water on Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, God's established authority in the land. And usually you'll stand out being respectful and honoring authority today, won't you?
It's true.
So you talked about that. And so what would you say to somebody that's struggling and they just are frustrated because they're trying to get there without hard work?
Right.
What would you say to that person right now?
Well, this is a little hard to say, but this is what I believe. Nobody owes you anything. This entitlement thing is a trap. It's a guise of darkness. Nobody owes you anything. If you'll make a way, take a step forward, and try to figure out a way to serve in some way or another, I don't care if it's sweeping somebody's step, God will make a way for you.
Right.
Yeah, he's made a way. Solomon says to fear God, but it doesn't get any better than this, to do a good day's work.
Right.
So don't shy back from work. Go ahead, get up off that bed, take you a good shower, go out, find work, or wherever you are, begin to do it as you do it under the Lord. And I believe the Lord will bless you.
And the Lord says he rewards you. So you're looking at the system or the government or your boss. I mean, I had a particular employee once that was working for me, and they were just so honoring and so respectful that God would just touch my heart. And I remember calling once and said, listen, what do you need? Do you need something? Do you need, just take the money out of the cash drawer, whatever. I mean, just God just gets, will touch the heart of your boss.
Right.
To bless you.
Yes, he will.
You know, he'll even touch the heart of a Pharaoh.
Right.
You know, or a Potiphar, you know, I mean, somebody. I mean, it's amazing what God will do to be able to, if you're trusting him and looking to him. And so that was very encouraging just to see the fact of hard work. I want to hear the story about the mop, because you were going to get in there with this mop thing. That was hilarious.
Well, Cassidy was fastidious. He was a perfectionist. He loved everything clean.
Right.
And he had a little bit different way. He wanted everything bathed in diesel fuel.
Okay.
And not just the joints and the bearings greased. He wanted everything to be bathed. So there was a mop that was probably about 14 inches long. It was very fuzzy on the end. It wasn't the kind of mop that has strings. It was a fuzzy mop.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what I was doing. I was going into the back of this dart machine. It was loud, it was herky jerky, gears everywhere. A young man could easily put his hand in a gear and lose it. And so I stuck the mop in my back pocket. But he jerked that machine, I went backwards, and that mop went into a fan.
Uh-huh.
And the fan, it blew it into a jillion fuzzy pieces. The whole inside of that machine was covered up with mop that was sticking to the diesel fuel.
Oh my God!
His ears and his forehead got red, and I'd just gotten in there.
Uh-huh.
And he said, now you're going to clean up every bit of that. So that's the way that
this is in front of Cassidy. This happens. I was thinking, worst
Cassidy's
case scenario.
Machine. Yeah, right.
This hard guy to work for, and how did he respond after? Did he?
He just got red, and because I was the boss's son, that gave me a little grace. Okay.
Right.
He couldn't just, you know, hit me over the head. He said, you're going to clean up everything.
Right.
And I did the best I could.
Maybe, you were just the boss's son. Yeah. Your dad, like he was what John Wayne wanted to be.
Yeah,
he said.
Yeah.
So there was a reverential fear of your dad.
There
you know. So that was going for you. He may have taken you out, right? That's so funny, is it? Because I know what it's like. I had to work in the engine room in the Navy, and it's like everything's greased. And so that stuff, how'd you clean it off? What did you do to clean it off?
A rag and diesel fuel, and pretty much we just painted over it with diesel fuel.
Listen, we got to go to a break. We're going to be right back and continue this amazing interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
In 1943 America, Dennis Day was singing I'll Be Home for Christmas.
In Germany, 800 prisoners of the Third Reich were awaiting trial in a military prison. Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was among them, hoping to be released by Christmas. That didn't happen.
In December 1943, Bonhoeffer wrote a Christmas letter from his prison cell. He wrote that it could be easy to despair, but that this Christmas would be more meaningful to those in such a lonely and desolate place. He wrote that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. A prisoner grasps this better than others.
After being moved from one prison and concentration camp to another, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in April 1945.
Engage with the Bible in words of hope in perilous times.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is for us to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m. Or you can join us online at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Okay, let's shift a little bit. So you and Debbie, your wife, you know, you've been married, what, 40, how many years now?
48 years. I've been with her 51.
And 51
this, 49 years? This November, next 2 months.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. And a lot of people today are trying to, you know, just all these different kind of ways they're trying to find a spouse, you know, and because we kind of left the way that we, God's called us to do is just hang out with other believers, live your life together and the church gathering type, and you find other women, maybe, you know, life was different during those days that there was a fear of God in America, like in the 1950s, even though they didn't know God, there still was a fear of God.
Right.
And today, people, this is what Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, says, you know, the 1950s, some people didn't know God, but they feared him. But today, there's people that know him, doesn't fear him. So it's a different environment in the context of that. So did Debbie just drop out of the sky, or did you go on some internet thing and try to find her, swipe left, or what happened? How did you meet?
I think each man's got his own story with a woman. But
right.
For me, I was 16 in Fort Myers High School, and I saw this cute little brunette going along. And so I took notice of her, and finally I saw her in the cafeteria, and she was sitting with a couple girls, and I had a couple of friends, but I went up and sat right across from her.
Right.
And I knew that I liked her. I didn't know she liked me, but I knew I liked her.
Right.
And so when we met eyes, she said, she didn't tell me right away, she said she heard a loud voice in her head that said, "That's the man you're gonna marry."
And oh, wow.
I know, isn't that amazing? And so
God backed you up.
Well, I think he has a plan for each of us.
Yes.
Now, you gotta reach out with faith to believe that, but I believe he's got a plan for your life.
Right.
And this kind of confirms it with me. Mm-hmm. So we began to date. Mm-hmm. I took her out to a place called the Beehive. I mentioned in the Wally Naylor and the Bees. They were so good.
Right.
And I took her home and I was so shy.
Right.
I didn't know whether to kiss her on the first take home. I drove her home.
Right.
And later found out her mother said she couldn't even date until she was 16.
Oh, wow.
But there she was. She was 15. I gave her a goodnight kiss.
Right.
And then, as I said in the book, it's like the car floated all the way home. It really did. And then we had a date the next week to the fair. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in the book these little white tight jeans she looked so cute in.
You did.
Yeah. And so we've had a date to the fair ever since.
Oh, that's cool.
And so she's been such an inspiration in my life. I say she's better than me. In certain ways, she is. She's so sensitive. She hears the Lord.
Right.
She heard him then, but if I could tell you 50 stories where she's told me something was going to happen, and then it happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it happened. And
that's a gift that you have a wife that can hear from the Lord.
It is, and sometimes
it
might be a negative thing, and I tend to be what I call a sanguine or a positive temperament, and I'd say, "Oh, don't say that.
Right.
Don't say that.
Right.
You know." But what she said
then it comes to
came
pass.
To pass.
Right.
And so now I've dedicated the best I can to learn to listen.
Right.
I have a hard time listening. Mm-hmm. Our marriage went pretty well, but it was all about me. Mm-hmm. It was like I was the king mm-hmm. on the throne mm-hmm. Of what I wanted to do.
Right.
I mentioned you talked about hunting and fishing. Mm-hmm. I would hunt all night long on horseback. Oh, that was cool. I'd love to do it, yeah.
Wow.
And I'd have a dog like Johnny Cash, and we'd catch hogs, and we'd put a small one across the saddle.
Right.
We'd ride all night long. Or maybe I would fish all night long.
Right.
Or I'd shoot pool. I loved to play billiards back in those days. Mm-hmm. I was drinking, mm-hmm. and they would buy me a beer if I won. Mm-hmm. And so I drank free beer all night long. But that does not make a marriage, okay?
Right.
That does not.
So what changed you?
Well, we were up in Tennessee at this time, and
so you didn't know the Lord at this point?
No, mm-hmm. I'd had experience with the Lord, mm-hmm. okay? But I was away from the Lord. I was trying to do it myself. There's mm-hmm. somebody out there that's away from the Lord to hear my story. I want to try and tell you, God our Father is like the father in the prodigal. Right. He's waiting for you. Let me tell you, you can have as much of God as you want. You're the one that's holding back, okay? So we both had gone separate ways, had a horrible fight. Mm-hmm. I left and went to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was there for a few days and I was working day labor just to be up there. I had to work. And somehow she found me. She said, come back home.
Wow.
And I said, well, okay. I'll come back. But I thought, we got to do something different.
Right.
I said, we got to try church. Mm-hmm. At that point, I was a little bit upset with church. I thought it was full of hypocrites. I thought they were wanting my money.
Right.
I thought they wanted to play a trip on me, a power trip about holier than thou. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm not going for that. I'm a free man. I'm not going for that. But then I knew I had to have some kind of foundation because this thing of me being the king and me going off drinking and not, it was ruining our marriage.
Right.
So I tried several churches and I couldn't relate. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, once again, it was full of hypocrites, so I couldn't relate to the pastor. To be honest with you, I tried about 10 different churches. Mm-hmm. And finally, a lady, it's a sister of Skeeter Davis, okay, who's
a famous
country singer,
okay,
said, please come to our church. Uh-huh. It was called the Lord's Chapel mm-hmm. in Brentwood near Nashville. And I really liked this pastor immediately. He set me at ease. I liked him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he made an offer to make a call of faith. And so I went and asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins. And the Bible became alive to me. I said, okay, this is going to be the way. This is where we're going to church. And right. we all three got baptized, Jonathan and Debbie, on the same day. And I can honestly say I've never looked back. Now, I've had numerous sin that right. I had to confess on a daily basis.
Yes.
And it's been a growing process of faith.
Right.
So that's my story. And I say if you feel like you're away from the Lord, mm-hmm. you feel like, you know, you got in a closet somewhere and you wouldn't know the Lord, mm-hmm. I'm saying, go try church to start with, or right. make your own call right. to the Lord, because that's the biggest and the best thing I've ever done is to call on the Lord and to save me.
So would you say that on your mind you were thinking one thing, but the other thing, God was drawing you to Himself because
yeah.
you know, He was getting you to come to hear about Him,
right?
Because that was the moment that shifted everything. So yeah. how did things change? I mean, I know my life just dramatically changed. You know. I can really relate to your life, you know, and how God saved me. And I think He had to save me alone, because I don't think anybody thought I could be saved, probably.
Right.
I was riding on the road at 2 o'clock in the morning on the sheriff's department on patrol, and playing music as loud as could be. I was the noise disturbance in the cruiser. They would show up, and that all of a sudden, I just had this hunger for God. You know, I just wanted God. That was like a paradigm shift. And I pulled over into a parking lot off of Mobile Highway in Pensacola, Florida. It happened to pull off into Brownsville Assembly of God, which is a dirt parking lot back then. And I'm calling dispatch going, where's Christian radio? I need to listen to Christian radio. And they're like, it don't come on until 6 o'clock in the morning back then, right? And so I sat in the parking lot, waited, you know, for Christian radio to come on, because I was just hungry for Him. And I looked up on the sign and it said dinner Thursday night. And I thought, you know, I'm a single man, I'm at dinner. And I thought, this is a perfect opportunity to go to church. And so I walked in, and my wife and I rode down the street together, didn't know each other, pulled in the parking lot together, didn't know each other, and walked in together to that dinner that night. And we've been together ever since. I mean, God had shifted our whole life.
Wow.
And now we're together all these years. We've been married 30 years. And, but yeah, just suddenly, that's the last thing I had on my mind, you know. But then I just couldn't get enough of him. I wanted to read the, I wasn't a book reader, but I wanted to read the Bible all the way through. They started calling me the preacher man at the sheriff's department, you know, on the radio. I'm like, I'm not a preacher man. Because you feel really, when you first right. saved, you're thinking, man, that's the last thing, I'm a preacher. But, you know, I got up under Pastor John Kilpatrick, who's a spiritual father to me today in the Lord. And he just mentored me and spoke into my life. And eventually even, that's he's one that launched me into ministry, wouldn't trust me. And that there's somebody out there right now
that
they don't realize that God can take you from just, you know, where you are and just overnight just turn you 180 degrees, and that he's got you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. But you have to be open to that, you know. And he just called me. I had this, it's not like God's going, Greg, come to me. John, come to me. It's this thing on your heart where God just, all of a sudden, you just want to know something about him.
Right.
You know, and it's a relationship. So he's not forcing. He's like, will you come near to me? I'll come near to you. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. He's a promise.
Right.
And so as you turn towards him, he turns closer to you. As you draw closer, he draws. Next thing you know, I'm like giving my life to God, you know, and I just thank God. I mean, what God has done in my life, I'm just, every day I'm just amazed, you know. I mean, as a matter of fact, from this television studio here, I lived probably maybe a tenth of a mile north of here when I was a deputy and wasn't saved. But when he saved me, he knew this day would be. And it was just crazy what God has in store for you. He's got plans. There's plans. You're thinking you have good plans for your life. God has plans you don't even know about that's better than you could ever dream about. And he wants to, you know, reveal them to you as you walk with him. So I just want to encourage you right now. If you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ, you can make it right this moment. If that's you, I want you to pray with me. This is what I did. Just ask God into your life. I want you to pray with me right now. Say, dear Jesus, that's right, pray with me. Dear Jesus, say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Come into my life. That's right. Just ask him to come into your life. You don't have to know everything in your head. Just say, come into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. That's what he came to do. He came, God offered his son. Jesus honored his father and said, I will come to live a sinless life, to pay for our sins. When he got nailed to the cross, that was because of our sins. He didn't sin, it was our sin. And he died for our sins. And because he died for our sins, and they buried him on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead, where now he sits at the right hand of the Father. He did that so you could pray right now and invite him into your life. That's what's so awesome about it. I needed forgiveness. As a matter of fact, since I got saved, I've needed forgiveness. God didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. That's good. And you become alive in him. And he takes you on this journey, and he gradually begins to change things in your life. And John and I both can attest that, you know, we're not the men that we used to be, but we're still not even fully what God is doing in our life. And the fact that we're here is because we said yes to him. So if that's you, right now, I want you to go to meetmyfather.org. Or I share some of my testimony about my life. And also, you can go to John as well and find out about his testimony. But just we want to hear from you. You made that decision. Welcome to the family of God. I mean, maybe you're going to have the next book that you write about your journey. I'm so excited about you being in the family of God. Listen, we're going to be right back from this break, but we're going to continue. We get back from the break for this interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
Don't miss your chance to get this free book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success, where I share a prophetic encounter God gave me about a coming wealth transfer. And this whole genesis of this book and these strategies is to position you for a coming wealth transfer. It's 10 strategies for success, dealing with your belief, your actions, commitments, giving you plans, giving you strategies. I mean, so many things I can't even talk about, but it's yours for free. Go to VFNKB.com and get your free copy now.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Isn't it exciting, John?
It is.
Exciting to see, you know, what God can do. You know, I think back about you know, you're 14, I believe it was, when you were fishing to catch this, you were fishing for a Goliath grouper, which is a huge fish.
Right.
But you were like 14, was it 14 years old?
I think I was about 14 or 15.
Okay, yes. 14 or 15. Tell us about this story because...
Well, it starts out, I was fishing on a place called Long Bar. It's in the Clusatchee River, at the mouth of the river. Mm-hmm. And we were fishing actually for snook, which is my favorite snook. Snook, to me, is the greatest game fish on the planet.
And meaning fight or taste?
Can be both.
Okay.
A smaller snook is good to eat, and they get bigger, they're not.
Okay.
So we were catching them on topwater lures, and I went by myself in my boat that my dad let me use, and I would park on this long oyster bar, get out and weigh the bar, and I caught a nice redfish. People up in this area know what redfish are, and it would be what we call a slot red, good for eating.
Okay.
And so I had an aerator type of a...
It's a trash can, right?
Yeah, it was a trash can back in those days for a bait well, and we put an aerator in. So I put that redfish in there to keep alive, keep him fresh. So I thought I was going back for snook, but I couldn't catch a snook, and I came back to the boat, and I thought, wow, I wonder if I could use that redfish for bait to catch a Goliath grouper. All right, so I got back in the boat, and I ran about a mile to the Sanibel Causeway. Okay. And under the causeway, there's a place where the boat's going under there. On either side, they have these wooden fenders with lots of pilings down in the water. And what we'd normally do is go out and catch a Jack Crevel. We'd see birds, and we'd throw lures to where the birds were, and the fish would be striking, and we'd use Jack Crevel, because they would, when you put them down, they would grunt loudly.
Okay.
And so the Goliath grouper would come to the jackfish.
Right.
All right, but this, I had a redfish. I never tried a redfish.
So the grouper would hear this noise?
Fish, yeah.
Okay, wow, okay.
And so I went to my favorite spot and parked the boat on the inside of that fender, climbed up the fender, got up top, which would be about 8 to 10 feet out of the water.
Right.
Took my rig, which was a rope with a like a 2-pound weight on it, and then a chain, a quarter-inch chain, and a Sobe hook that's as big around as your hand, a big hook. And I put that redfish down there, and almost immediately a Goliath grouper hit it.
No.
Yeah, and I had him on there, and I wanted one less than 100 pounds because then I could sell it or I could eat it.
Right.
And
because they can be 400 pounds.
Yeah,
right?
If they get too big, they're not good eating.
That's a big fish, 400 pounds.
Yeah, it's a huge fish.
Why it's called Goliath, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's huge. So I catch this fish, and I bring him up to the top, and I walk down the catwalk and bring him around, and I get down on my boat. And so the name of the story is Have Your Cake and Eat It Too.
Right. Listen, this is not over. Make sure you join us on our next program. We're going to continue to hear these amazing stories from this ordinary man, John Newland.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.